Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy game show podcast hosted by me, Nate Regolia. Each week, I subject my guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea about them. And they usually do. We also play some mini games. And, we have a grand old time. I still didn't hit my mark on, do they have a vague idea? Which is something I'm supposed to do, aren't I, Shannon?
You gotta get it.
Yeah, sometime I really will.
I ask my guests questions to find out if they have a vague idea.
With me, as always, is Shannon Page. Shannon, how are you?
Hi, I'm great.
Well, good. Good to see you. We're on a full setup today with four microphones for the four corresponding voices that you are about to hear.
It's freaking me out. I can't handle it.
So many dulcet tones. It's terrifying. So joining us, we have returning guest Brian Dixon.
Hello.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Swell.
Good. Good. Everything's, yeah, that's...
It's weird, it's a, huh?
I know.
It changes everything, being able to hear yourself. How do people do this professionally?
This is a level of self-awareness that we only normally experience through writing.
Well, you notice how I smiled. That was at myself, not at you guys.
No, yeah, that was a very turned inward smile. I get it. Got to eat the peach bite by bite. And Brian's brought along his brother, John Dixon. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Glad
to
be here.
Hey, yeah. And thanks for bringing that sweet, syrupy voice. You know, we got a serious Barry White situation.
You read my mind.
Yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of your love, babe.
So this week's show is going to be on the theme of brothers, seeing as how we've got two brothers in the room. And Shannon and I are brotherless, but we've seen some brothers before in the past. We've heard of them. My father has three brothers, so that counts as something.
Is one of them named Bob?
No.
Oh, I feel like everybody has an Uncle Bob.
I had an Uncle Mike, and I have an Uncle Joe and an Uncle David.
So you just disproved my theory that everybody has an Uncle Bob.
But there is a Bob Regolia who is related in our family. So, I mean, I think we could probably say that every family has a Bob, if not every set of brothers. Is there a Bob in the Dixon family?
No.
No.
All right.
No?
Never mind then.
But Bob may or may not be your uncle, you know.
It's true.
You know. Oh.
Bob's your uncle.
Ha ha.
Yeah. What about Bob?
Oh my gosh.
I would like to discuss this situation for a second. Mm-hmm. We got a bottle of Evan Williams.
Yep, there's some Evan Williams up in here.
And then also, which came out after I noticed the Evan Williams, is the CB, I'm gonna say it's CBD. No, it's legal here. What do I care?
Yeah.
THC. THC. Is that to mix with our whiskey? Like, you want us to put drops of THC in our whiskey?
I'm not. I just like the word tincture. So, you know. That's
I didn't say it because I'm not sure I could. Tincture.
Yeah, no, it's true. As far as I understand it, you can't get a container of that kind that says tincture without having THC in it. So, really, this was all... I mean, you're just a collector.
Exactly.
I mean, you haven't been to John's place, but John has a bunch of tinctures. He also has flasks, some Bunsen beaker things. It's an amazing collection.
Absolutely.
Of
I just like that these
glasses.
Were presented together. Like, here's a plastic bottle of whiskey and a THC tincture for your enjoyment.
It's all about the brotherly love. This pairing is what it is.
I think that's a really wise mix, too. I could see that being really good because you would get all of the bonus of the whiskey with none of the backlash of the whiskey. And you'd set yourself up to be really chill and really thrilled.
It's like fire and ice, you know.
Yeah, kind of yeah. It's... Ooh, yeah. Let's a little Robert Frost. Let's do that. Brian, would you like to recite Fire and Ice by Robert Frost?
I can only say... Two rows of birds, you know, that kind of voice. That's the only thing you can think about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. I think he did. I think he did as much as he could do.
It's only four words.
Good fences and all that. Gentlemen, as the guests, you get to choose whether one of you will go first in selecting a topic number or whether you're going to make Shannon go first. So what do you guys say? What do you think?
I say amongst brothers, age before beauty, so...
All right, Brian, it's going to be your choice here. What do you
you can pick. Go? Yeah, you go ahead.
You going to go
pick.
First?
Yeah.
Okay. I love the dramatic pause. Brian, pick a topic 1 through 10.
9.
Number 9. All right. Do you have a vague idea about Romulus and Remus?
Vague idea.
Okay, great. John, Romulus and Remus?
Vague idea.
Okay. Rough. Shannon?
Vague.
Okay. Brian, start talking about Romulus and Remus.
Well, founders of Rome in the mythological sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know much more than that. Oh, wait. They were raised by wolves.
Yes.
Perhaps.
Yes.
But I can't go any further than that.
Okay. Hey, I think that's a really great start.
Thank you.
John, can you add anything?
Yeah, I think I could add to the raised or the rearing. Wasn't there some teat sucking or something? Didn't they like suck from the teat of the wolves?
I think yes, they did. They did. I think what's funny is that probably all child rearing involves some teat sucking.
Oh, that's true.
Or at least, even if it's a bottle based teat, it's still going to be sucked up. However, you are correct. They did nurse from a she wolf.
Is that how Ambrosia was formed?
Oh. No, well, maybe it might.
I feel like this is going to turn into a delicious dish episode of SNL real fast. So my sweaty teats.
It reminds me of what was that movie with Ben Stiller when he was talking
meet
about
the parents?
Yeah, when he's talking about milking the cat.
Yeah. You can milk anything with nipples. Well, I have nipples, Greg. I'm.
Can you milk me?
Don't be afraid of the teat.
I'm Bob De Niro. Hey, that family had a Bob. Raging Bull. Shannon, what can you add about Romulus and Remus?
I don't think I can add anything.
Okay.
Twins? I feel like they were on a hill.
Twins is correct.
There's a hill involved as well.
Yeah, there probably was.
Like the hill, the hill where they were found became like a famous hill in Rome or something.
I think there's a not a mausoleum, but at least a monument. There's a monument there looking over the hill.
Yes. There's a big statue, too, as is my understanding. So you guys did
thank
great.
Thank you.
In Roman mythology, Romulus and Remus are twin brothers whose story tells the events that led to the founding of the city of Rome and the Roman kingdom by Romulus. The killing of Remus by his brother and other tales from their story have inspired artists throughout the ages. Since ancient times, the image of the twins being suckled by a she-wolf has been a symbol of the city of Rome and the Roman people. When you look at the shield of AC Roma, the football team, it has the she-wolf and the babies suckling from it, which is like one of the weirdest sports logos, right? But something that I respect so much because I really wish the Rockies had something like that. It's just like, oh, a C and an R. No. I want like the mountain nursing a skier, perhaps. I don't know.
So what's their mascot? The she-wolf sucklers?
Yeah, I don't know what Roma's thing is. I assume they're some kind of cool thing. Anyway, the tale takes place before the founding of Rome around 750 BC. The earliest known written account of the myth is from the 3rd century BC. Possible historical basis for the story, as well as whether the twins myth was an original part of the Roman myth or later development, is a subject to ongoing debate. Because obviously there's a parallel with some biblical myth there. Mm. Brother against brother.
Cain and Abel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They weren't twins.
They were not twins.
No. One of them was a bad twin. Very clearly.
The good
very
son.
Clearly.
Macaulay Culkin.
Here's a little picture for you all.
What is his brother's name? Oh, God.
Kieran is one of them.
That's right.
And there's a third brother, but I don't know what his name is. Here's a picture of what the statue looks like that has the she-wolf suckling the twin boys.
So, are you going to post that on Instagram?
I will probably Photoshop, I don't know, my head on the she-wolf, and the three of you will be suckling at me.
Nope.
Come on, you podcasters.
I think that's probably the best outcome for this. No? Shannon, you're not into it? Well, I guess they're only two boys, so they can suckle on me.
Yeah, Remus.
Maybe I'll Photoshop you riding me as a sort of passenger atop the she-wolf.
You can leave me out of it completely. I'm okay
it's too
with
late.
That.
It's too late. It's already been done. Brian, I'm going to give you a point. I'm going to give John and Shannon half a point each. And
I think
John,
that's generous of you. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's, you get to pick 1 through 9. Next topic.
All right. We'll do 9.
All right. This is a new game. We're going to play Thirsty or Chill. So your job, this is a super suggestive subjective category. It's a little suggestive, too. like Shannon's favorite pomme de terre, you're going to have to tell me which of these two brothers is thirsty and which of these two brothers is chill, using the slang parlance. So
the
thirsty,
parlance of our times.
Yeah, so thirsty being meaning a sort of a hungry aggressiveness, sort of like being mic check.
Sorry.
Well done. No, you're good.
I'm not used to it.
I know. You're good. Don't worry.
No, can I stop you real quick?
Sure.
Being a high school teacher, I thought thirsty meant like you're horny.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what like, you mean? I thought, oh, that guy makes me thirsty.
Lascivious.
See, yeah, it's like who's the one who's like going after stuff? Like,
okay. Who's really. Which brother is horny and which brother is not horny?
And which brother is like, whatever, man. Whatever.
All right.
So you're all going to get a chance at this, but John, you get to go first.
All right, sounds good.
So, the brothers Luke and Owen Wilson, which one is thirsty and which one is chill?
That's a good question. I'd have to say Luke is thirsty.
Yeah. All right.
For
all
some
right.
reason.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that all?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you'd like to elaborate.
Well,
on
no,
why.
It's just, I think, just because he kind of like in Wedding Crashers, Owen played the thirsty one. Right?
Yeah.
And then, like, an old school Luke played the chill one. But I almost feel like in real life they'd be reversed. Especially because, like, Owen, didn't he have, like, a mental breakdown or something? And it's kind of hard to be thirsty when you're bugging out.
It's hard to be thirsty when you're bugging out. We need that The More You Know music to play. I think that's fair. I think it's true. That's a fine rationale. Shannon, what do you think?
I think Owen is the thirsty one because he's the one whose nose looks like a penis.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I mean, a rather pinched and crooked one.
But. But I mean, follow your nose, people. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Toucan Owen.
Yeah, and Luke is the chill one.
Yeah, I mean, Luke seems like he's basically always nonplussed.
Yeah, plus in general, just Luke is way. I don't know if Owen's necessarily thirsty, but he's definitely not chill.
Yeah,
like Owen is definitely the crazy one.
He's agitated.
Yeah,
yeah.
Even if he's not actively thirsty, he is. He's bugging.
As the kids say.
I just watched 1989's Do the Right Thing, and they say bugging a lot in that, so I assume that's the parlance of the streets.
I think I kind of dated myself with that one.
I think it's great to bring that back, because you know what? Language is a fluid construct, and we are supposed to enjoy these things.
Rad is still around, man.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I gotta say, Nate, I love your shirt.
Oh,
you know,
thank you.
Because you got the word sanguine on your shirt.
I do, like, yeah.
Is that a Pegasus?
It is. Yeah.
So you got a Pegasus and you got the word sanguine on your shirt.
Where's that shirt from, Nate?
This shirt is one that I designed myself, actually. I sell them at shirtsbynate.threadless.com. Yeah, the idea, the concept for this was we did this idea of SATs. So it's SAT words like sanguine, which is to be optimistic in a in a time of incredible difficulty. So this shirt says be sanguine and has Pegasus because I can't remember now who rides a Pegasus out of some sort of imprisonment in Greek mythology.
Wasn't that the guy who made the labyrinth that came, Daedalus?
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. And that's the thing. So I was kind of like, hey. And plus, it's a shirt that I wear when I'm feeling like, oh, maybe the world's fucked. And then I'm like, wait, no. Be optimistic in this incredible, incredible difficulty.
Because you have Luke Wilson on your side.
I do. He is chill. Well, let's find out. Brian, what do you think?
I'm going with Owen because of Zoolander.
Okay. Owen's thirsty because, yeah. Well, and he was very thirsty in that movie.
That was quenched.
I mean, his character turn is he appears to be chill, and you think, oh, Zoolander's the thirsty one, but then Turns out they're both thirsty. even Christopher Walken turns out to be thirsty by the end of that movie. So I mean, and he's a West Virginia coal miner.
What's that line that he says? He was off the coast of somewhere tripping with spider monkeys or something. Do y'all remember?
Oh shit! No. Anyway. Yeah, I remember. I remember the spirit of it.
Yeah, yeah. I just like that. I think there was an orgy involved. So.
Yeah,
going back to the thirstiness.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who doesn't love a good orgy, right?
I just realized I'm eating a mixture of pretzel and extra cheddar goldfish, and man, these pretzels are making me thirsty.
Hey, you know what? You know what? You know what goes well with that? A little tincture.
We are. What brand is that? Let's see if they'd sponsor it. No,
better.
Great job. I'm going to give everybody 1 point for that. Thank you for participating in Thirsty or Chill. Shannon, you get to pick the next topic, 1 through 7. Wait, 1 through 8.
Number one.
Number one. Do you have a vague idea, Shannon, about the Brothers Grimm?
Oh, I do, yeah.
All right, great. Brian, Brothers Grimm, vague idea?
Vague idea.
Okay. John?
The vaguest.
Okay. Shannon, let's start talking about the Brothers Grimm.
I believe they were a pair of brothers that wrote fairy tales, stories. The majority of the fairy tales we know today, I think, come from the Brothers Grimm. It was a collection, maybe they were German. I'm going to say they were German.
Well done.
And they wrote Little Red Riding Hood, Little Mermaid, all that kind of stuff. But theirs were a lot darker than the ones we know today. Also, there was a movie made, I want to say in the early 2000s, that was terrible, starring Matt Damon and Heath Ledger, where they played the Brothers Grimm that fought a witch. And I don't remember it because it was a terrible movie.
Yeah, in that movie they were like Van Helsings.
Yeah.
In the Hugh Jackman version of Van Helsing. So it was bad. But they were like traveling monster hunters / storytellers. This is wild.
But in real life, I think they were actually a pair of brothers that were authors.
It's true.
Was that started by fan fiction, that whole... I mean...
That probably would have been before fan fiction. But, I mean, it may have been a precursor, too.
Precursor, maybe, yeah.
I think it was probably started by thirstiness in general. Because you took nice. Matt Damon and Heath Ledger, who both at the time, in the early 2000s...
I'm pretty thirsty. I'm pretty thirsty for both of them.
Fire, baby.
None of them chill. None of them.
No, you're not chilling on either.
Still not.
Yum, yum.
Yep.
Get in my tum.
Yep.
And by tum, I mean genitals.
Which is why I saw that movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The number of movies that I watch purely because of, like, Sarah Michelle Gellar and, what's her face, Jennifer Love Hewitt being present in them. Really, like, just incredible wastes of time.
Hewitt, she was in how many of the Scream movies?
I don't think she was.
Or the parody.
She was in I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you want from us?
Okay. Yeah. She did a...
Sorry.
That was such a good impression, though. You even did like the arm throwback and like pushing your chest forward. Yeah. You got it.
Sad story from my life is when I was working at Into the Wind in Boulder, I worked with my buddy Mike, who
was
the shipping
store?
Manager. Yes,
in the Kite District.
Correct. In the Kite District.
Was that next to the string shop?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, talking about like everything. But we used to watch the program Ghost Whisperer. That was on CBS that starred Jennifer Love Hewitt.
I actually recently tried to start watching that because it's on Amazon Prime, and I got through about 2 episodes and I had to give it up.
It's got to be extraordinarily boring now by television standards.
It's so bad, and I'm not attracted to boobs, so I wasn't that into it.
Was that the one where she was like a masseuse or something?
she works in an antique shop.
No,
but she can see
you're
ghosts.
Thinking of the one where she actually was like a.
Like a prostitute.
Like a prostitute, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Never mind. Yeah.
No, this one is she's a ghost whisperer.
Oh, yeah. Prostitution and whispering of ghosts. Like, what?
That would be a great show, though.
What if the ghost wants a massage? I don't know.
If
thirsty ghosts.
If you can get a ghost hard, you can get anybody hard. Literally non-corporeal, suddenly physically there with a boner. Victory.
Happy ending.
I mean, happy ending going to the light.
For the ghost.
Going into the light is a happy ending, I would imagine.
I call that orgasm.
There's a tagline there somewhere.
But yeah, we watched this show, The Ghost Whisperer. Like, it was our religious, like, we got together every Friday. We would usually go to Deli Zone, I don't know that there are any around now, but it's like a New York style deli sandwich shop with the greasiest possible sandwiches. So we would get these huge sandwiches. We would go over to his place, sit down, smoke a bowl out of the bong, and watch Ghost Whisperer. And I don't even know why after a certain point, because as Shannon said, this show was not good. It has a whole bunch of people who are good, because Aisha Tyler is in this show. Cameron Manheim is in the show at one point, too, and she was on The Practice or whatever. A bunch of great people, but man. I mean, the whole thing is just, you know, gimmicks about ghosts, and it's a very, like, CBS... It's basically, like, what would CBS dump on a Friday night? And this is exactly what they did. So, that was a great digression. Who's next to talk about the Brothers Grimm? Brian?
Oh, that!
Yeah. Do you have anything to add to Shannon's notes that they're German brothers, wrote fairy tales, Heath Ledger and Matt Damon were in a movie... And the fairy tales were far more gruesome than what we're maybe accustomed to.
I think I would say they were in the 19th century, but also thinking this may be a stretch, but they're connected to German romanticism.
Ooh. I mean, German romance does involve, like, cutting your heel off to fit into a slipper, so.
There's some sublime in there somewhere.
Getting thirsty.
That's all I got.
Great job, Ryan. John, do you have anything to add?
The only thing I can think of is I think there was a lot of motifs of women eating children, maybe?
Yeah. There's definitely children eating going on
there's
in a lot of
there's
fairy
a lot
tales.
Of cannibalism and just in general.
Yeah.
They were heady times, you know? You have enough tincture and you're like, I want a California cheeseburger, and that just happens to have a baby on it. That's a Simpsons reference. Never mind. Let that one whiz by, everybody.
Well, or you can go to Deli Zone, you know.
Yeah. I feel like they did have some sort of, like, veal sandwich that had baby in the title.
I'm trying to do something there with that, but.
Excellent. The Brothers Grimm, Jacob Ludwig Karl and Wilhelm Karl were German academics, philologists. Cultural.
I'm sorry, what's that word?
Not philatelists, philologists. Cultural researchers, lexicographers, and authors who together collected and published folklore during the 19th century. Correct, Brian. Well done. They were among the first and best known collectors of German and European folk tales, and they popularized traditional oral tale types such as Cinderella, the Frog Prince, the Goose Girl, which I've never heard of, Hansel and Gretel, Rapunzel, Rumpelstiltskin, Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, and more. Their classic collection, Children's and Household Tales, was published in two volumes, first in 1812 and second in 1815. They were born in the town of Hanau in Hesse Kassel, which is now Germany. And they spent most of their childhood in the nearby town of Steinau. And that's pretty much the deal. We can get into a bunch of their academic career. They were academics. But they did a lot of great stuff. What I remember most is, so in the Cinderella version, the original Grimm fairy tale, the stepsisters do, like, mutilate their feet to try to fit themselves into the glass slippers. There's also, I'm pretty sure, like, the Rumpelstiltskin story is way more gruesome because it's literally, like, ripping the baby out of her.
Oh, my goodness.
Not just, like, waiting for it to be born and taking it later.
The Little Mermaid, I remember that she turns into seafoam at the end because he doesn't marry... He marries somebody else. Mm.
Which, you know, the Disney version's way better.
Well, so
but also she doesn't give everything up because she's in love with the prince. She gives everything up because humans have souls. She wants a soul.
See,
so
that's
a little more interesting.
There's
that
way
would
more
be
religiosity there.
Yeah, well, the points of the story, right?
And way less cultural misogyny, because really the Little Mermaid in the Disney version,
like,
is basically
everything,
like,
up to,
hey, I'm pretty much
oh,
the
that
dopest.
Guy's cute.
Yeah, I'm the dopest mermaid in the ocean, and I love singing. But yeah, I'm gonna.
She's thirsty for Prince Eric, so she gives up her fin.
And her voice.
Fall in, and her voice. And then they fall in love and get married. And then, the Brothers Grimm version, right. She wants a soul, so she gives everything up.
Oh, I like that way better.
Yeah, but then he marries somebody else, and because she had signed away her life for it, she turns into sea foam at the end.
Wow. She deserves 2 points, I think.
Oh, she's getting 2 points. Shannon, you're going to get 2 points. Brian's going to get a point, and John, you're going to get half a point. And Brian, we're back to you.
Number three.
All right. I don't even have to say.
He knows.
This is good.
He knows.
You're an old pro. That's where we're at. Brian, do you have a vague idea about Cain and Abel?
Vague idea.
Okay. John, Cain and Abel?
Vague idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shannon?
Yeah.
Great. Brian, start us off. What do you know?
It's part of the Old Testament. And Abel is a herder. Sheep herder, I believe. And Cain, I believe, is a agriculturalist at that point in terms of mythology. Mm-hmm. And the only thing is I can't really remember why the conflict happens, but Cain ends up murdering Abel. And the symbology behind that, of course, you're looking at, you know, basically the end of that particular culture in that area, with the herders dying away and the agriculture taking over.
Yeah.
But that's it.
All right. Great. Great. John, what can you add?
I think they were the sons of Abraham. Is that right?
Mm-mm.
No, that's wrong.
Think earlier.
Think earlier. Yeah. Like Muhammad.
Think earlier.
Not Muhammad.
Earliest.
Moses.
Earlier.
Way earlier.
Yeah. Earlier.
Like think
what's the
Abraham.
Nope. No. Earliest.
Earliest.
Who's the first?
Oh, Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
For real?
There you go. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Well, that was pretty vague then. Earlier. I think earlier.
We said earliest.
Yeah, the earliest. Well, I was about to say God, but no.
Kind of, though. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve were direct extensions of God. Basically, in technology parlance, Adam and Eve were dongles attached to God. And they
Where's
thus...
my dongle?
What does it make the rib? The, you know, Adam's rib.
USB port.
Flash drive. Children of Adam and Eve, and supposedly, like, everyone is descendants from them, according to Christian or Judaic belief, I suppose. Yeah. And I can't remember which one killed the other. Cain killed Abel, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But from what I understand, kind of going more off of what you said, the story itself is supposed to be like a folktale, so to speak. Warning neighboring tribes and people who practice pastoralism and herding that these agriculturists were coming for your land, and if you don't submit to their ways, they will kill you. So it's like a warning, basically, the story itself. So not to be taken literally, but that's about all I know.
And no one would ever take anything in the Bible literally, would they? Shannon, what can you add?
After Cain killed Abel, he got marked. Known as the Mark of Cain.
That's right.
Yeah.
And nobody could hurt him, and he was forced to wander the earth and is still wandering.
It's true.
Wait, wasn't his mark like lighter skin? Wasn't that the mark or
you know,
something like that?
I always pictured it as a big C on his forehead.
somebody just drew a dick on his cheek in Sharpie.
Like, mark of Cain. Don't hurt this guy. He's got a Sharpie dick.
You got drunk.
No, seriously, growing up, I always did picture it as just like a big C on his forehead. I don't know if it's described.
Letter.
Yeah. Cain shows up as a character in the TV show Supernatural and helps out the brothers.
Oh,
shit.
Good on him.
And also, I'm really excited. Netflix just picked up Neil Gaiman's Sandman.
Oh.
And in Sandman, Cain and Abel are major characters that live in the dream world, and Cain is forever killing Abel.
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Like, he just gets mad at him and kills him, and then Abel comes back to life, and that's their dynamic.
Is Cain in Dante's Nine Circles of Hell somewhere? But I don't think he's only going after Italians in that one.
Yeah. Yeah. He's pretty much just directly satiring, because I think if he... Gosh, I can't remember. It would totally fit... But I'm kind of with you that it would cross the line of it's not satirizing Italian society. It's now satirizing religion, and therefore he would have been like stoned for doing that, and not in the tincture way. He would have been the bad kind of stoned. Great job. In the biblical book of Genesis, Cain and Abel are the first two sons of Adam and Eve. Cain, the firstborn, was a farmer, and his brother Abel was a shepherd. The brothers made sacrifices to God, each of his own produce, but God favored Abel's sacrifice instead of Cain's. So Cain was like, what up? I'm thirsty for God. I'm going to kill Abel. And then he killed Abel, whereupon God punished Cain to a life of wandering, which he then dwelt in the land of Nod. I don't remember that. I didn't really do a lot of Bible stuff when I was a kid.
I think the land of Nod.
Is that parlance for wandering?
I think that's where the Sandman, the Neil Gaiman Sandman thing in. Because he's they're living in the world of dreams. Mm-hmm. And that's the land of Nod. I don't know.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. I love it. That's perfect. He built a city and fathered a line of descendants beginning with Enoch. The narrative never explicitly states his motive for killing his brother, nor God's reason for rejecting Cain's sacrifice, nor details on the identities of Cain's wife. Mm-hmm. And some traditional interpretations consider Cain to be the originator of evil, violence, or greed. But according to Genesis, Cain was the first human born, and Abel was the first human to die. So, the beautiful thing, I think, about the Bible is that it doesn't really give you answers to anything, so that it allows entirely sensible people to take these things with a grain of salt and weigh them. And I think we have an entire historical background that knows that, right? People have been going, these stories are really interesting, and I can apply them to my life in a careful and thoughtful manner without resorting to violence or anything else. Great job, everybody.
Beautiful.
Brian, I'm going to give you a point and a half, and I'm going to give John and Shannon a point each. And John, you get to pick the next topic, 1 through 6.
Let's go 4.
Number 4. It's time to play Goofus and Gallant.
Ooh.
So your task here is to, one, know that Goofus and Gallant are brothers. They might be. I don't know if they are. Are they?
I don't know.
I guess maybe
they sound like they'd be from the same family.
Soul brothers.
Maybe a little bit like Cain and Abel,
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow.
One of them's definitely a Goofus.
Look at this Goofus over here.
Killing people.
Gallant is the right sacrifice to God.
That's good. Save that. So yeah. So the way Goofus and Gallant works is you need to say something that Goofus does that's wrong.
All
right. And what Gallant does that's right.
Okay.
So just pick like a theme if you want to say what would go with kind of what Shannon was saying. Whatever. So yeah. Throw something at us.
Oh God.
Goofus doesn't separate his recyclables from his trash, and Gallant does.
Okay,
that's an example.
That would be an example of a
give you a guide.
Goofus puts his toilet paper on the roll the wrong way, and Gallant does.
Good. I like that. I like that. And just to clarify, the wrong way is...
I don't really care, but like I've heard other people say... because I know how to use it anyway, but like I've heard other people say, I can go.
Underneath.
Did teacher help you out with that one?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. That underneath, from on the back side.
Yeah.
Of it,
paper to the wall is the wrong way, definitely. Because if you have poop hand, you don't want to touch the wall while you're grabbing the toilet paper. You want the toilet paper hovering 4 inches away from the wall. At least that's my take.
And I've recently had an experience with a bidet. So,
are you thirsty for another bidet experience?
I really am, man. Like, once you go bidet, you can't do it otherwise.
Yeah.
Man. I don't care which way toilet paper's facing. When you got a bidet, it don't matter.
Yeah. No, but bidets are great. When I was growing up, one of my best friend's parents had a bidet in their master bedroom, and I never used it for its function, but every once in a while we would just be like running around the house and you'd turn it on and just watch the fountain happen and be like, this is great. I don't understand. Yeah. Then when you really think about it, like, oh, your parents just like hover over this until their stuff is clean. That's cool. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And it's probably long term more efficient. What do we think? Do you think the water used to clean various areas versus paper production, the cost of paper production, because there's a lot of water in turning pulp into paper, and then you got to package it, and there's plastic and everything. So I don't know. Yeah, bidets might be the way.
I think the water gets recycled, you know, the water that shoots up in there. I think it goes back down, and then I don't know how the system works necessarily.
But. If you piped it properly, you could probably send that water back into the tank to be used for the flushing situation. That's not a bad idea. All right. We've got a new business plan. Bidets for days. excellent. Shannon, what's your goofus and gallant?
All right, I'm going to throw back a little bit. Goofus suckles from a she-wolf and kills his brother to form Rome. Goofus. Gallant stars in Home Fries with Drew Barrymore.
Aww. That's adorable.
It's Luke Wilson.
I like it.
I did Romulus and Luke Wilson.
that takes talent to thread in loopholes like you just did.
I was thinking about it while you were talking about toilet paper in the days. You gave me time. You bought me some time.
Paper to the wall, baby. Paper to the wall.
Oh, God.
Okay, bro. That's what I thought. Paper to the wall. Okay.
We did kind of just gloss over poop hand, though. I'm sorry. We did.
Hey, you know, if it hasn't happened to you, just count yourself lucky. Brian, are you seriously positing that paper to the wall is the proper way to put the toilet paper in?
Well, I was.
Is that what you think?
I was.
Because I've known you for a long time, but I don't. I feel like suddenly I don't know you at all.
I was asking if paper to the wall was a euphemism for something.
Oh.
That didn't sound like a question.
Paper to the wall. What would it be a euphemism for?
We're throwing out a lot of different possibilities.
Housing construction from the 1950s with wall? Yeah. Or 60s?
That's something Goofus would do.
Goofus supplies toilet paper for wallpaper. Gallant actually buys regular wallpaper.
Florals, remind you.
Yeah.
You know, I think I seen a meth head's house once that, you know.
A whose house?
A meth head once. Oh. That there was paper to the wall, dude. So I think you have some precedence there.
You probably saw it in Breaking Bad. And that's where Goofus hangs out.
So
and Gallant would go in and clean the house.
Nice.
And
great.
There you go.
Perfect. Goofus.
Paper to the wall, maybe.
Brian, you're hot micing all over the place. We're good. We're good. No, it's okay. It's okay. We love you. Everything's fine. Everybody did a great job. You're all getting 2 points. Shannon, John.
Yes, sir.
John, 1 through 5.
Oh, no, I just went.
Yeah.
Did you just go?
Yeah, I just picked, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Shannon. See, I finally got it. I've had such a hard time, like, keeping the rotation.
We need to get, like, a dealer button.
Yeah,
so that
we do.
Can pass
yeah,
around.
Just move the big blind around so I know. Shannon, 1 through 5.
Oh, damn it. 3.
Number 3. Shannon.
No.
Do you have a vague idea about Oasis?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay. Brian, Oasis?
Vague idea.
Okay.
Vague idea.
John?
Yeah, vague.
Okay, great. Shannon?
Liam and somebody else, Gallagher.
Yep, that's true. That is true.
Our two.
That's what he goes by.
Liam and somebody else. Two brothers. They formed a band in the 90s called Oasis. They're English. They sing Champagne Supernova. They said they were better than the Beatles. And thus better by than Jesus.
by the transitive property. Well done.
They're kind of fighty.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like them.
Yeah. What's your favorite song?
It's a maybe you're gonna be the one that saves me. Oh, Wonderwalk.
Yeah. Because
after all, I'm your Wonderwalk.
Yeah, it's a good song. I like Don't Turn Away, which is from their
Don't Look Back
album.
In Anger.
Oh, yeah.
Don't Look Back in Anger.
That one's good, too.
I really had to say.
Slip inside the eye of your mind.
Yeah, yeah, that
that's
good.
The one.
That
that's a good. That's a good song.
That's from the first album, song. I think. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Brian, what do you know about Oasis? What can you add about Oasis?
Well, their first album was a pretty big hit. It probably went platinum.
Do you know the other one's name?
The other Gallagher?
Nigel?
You're close.
That's a good
you're
guess.
Very close.
I got it. I got this. Noel.
Yeah, John's got it. John's got it.
Yeah.
They did get in a fight. And they broke up for a while, but I think they made up maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
One of them founded Rome.
Right.
One of them had the Mark of Cain and wanders the land of Nod.
And one of them was in the Brothers Grimm.
I assume the land
That's
of...
how big they were.
So the land of Nod then is Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, his solo project.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't think their second and third albums did very well. I think they had one hit off their second album. I can't remember what that one was, though. And I didn't listen to the third album, but that's all I can add.
Okay, great. John, what do you got? What can you add?
I think Liam was like the lead singer, and I think Noel was like the angsty guitar player, kind of, right? And so I think Liam got a lot of the fame and the headlines, and I think he was better looking. Perhaps, but that could be one reason why.
In your opinion,
yeah,
you can have
know.
Whatever opinion about whichever one you think is better.
Like toilet paper, I could go either way.
Hey, brother, are you thirsty?
Are you thirstier
always,
for
baby.
Liam
I'm,
or
I'm
no?
Luke and Owen. I am Luke and Owen. well, I think that might be one reason why they were fighting all the time. But I think Noel actually wrote most of their songs. Which, you know, their early days of touring in Britain, they were drinking all the time and doing a bunch of drugs. And, that's about all I can add. But
I think that's great insight on the rivalry, because you're absolutely correct on all accounts. I mean, I think Liam is probably objectively the more attractive of the two brothers. Noel has a bit more of a unibrow than Liam.
I just remember they both had the bangs and the unibrow and eyes that went in different directions.
Yeah. On account of the drugs, yes.
But yeah, this band, what I remember is, one, they were in a constant rivalry with Blur. Mm-hmm. And Blur always seemed to do better, and I think aesthetically Blur's a better band. Like I've listened to several Blur albums, and I'm like, I like stuff on all of these, and I've listened to the three Oasis records, and they're not consistently the same.
Were they actually in a rivalry with Blur?
Well, they were in like a chart rivalry. I don't know if that's for real.
I feel like Blur, Pulp, and Oasis were all popular at the same time, but Oasis wasn't really the same as... They weren't really Britpop the way that Blur and Pulp were.
No, they were kind of Brit grunge. Mm-hmm. Not even grunge, but like some sort of alt grunge situation.
Did any of y'all mosh to Oasis?
Mm-mm.
Did you see them in concert or something?
No, I'm just making sure that this grunge label... Because I can't picture...
I'm not sure if you could mosh to it.
I don't think.
Where were you while we were getting high? You can't.
And then
really
just a bunch of kids are like slugging each other in the middle of the dance floor.
They must have been brothers. Like, you know, that every Oasis show had to have two brothers like fighting it out.
Oh yeah. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe they did a Sia style performative mosh pit where two brothers who weren't them would just beat the shit out of each other to exercise their own demons.
It was it was like they're the random dancer with the insane clown posse? And would that person go up and beat the shit out of the audience as well?
Yeah, I think they just, yeah. I mean, I don't think we can even begin to understand what ICP does or anybody connected to ICP. But yes, I think that it's entirely plausible that we're on the same vein here. What I remember is there was an interview with Paul McCartney, and Paul McCartney was like, they are the next great British band, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was taken with the incredible gravity of the early 90s, where everything was so fucking sunny that it didn't matter, and nothing bad was ever going to happen to us.
But I'm sure Radiohead was like, hello.
Right. Like, Radiohead's like, hey, we're really talented, and other than being forced to make a kind of bland first couple records, we're going to do some weird shit. So if you want to hang around. And then, yeah.
Have you seen Anima on Netflix?
I haven't yet, although I saw the preview for it. And there was nothing weirder for me than Tom York popping up slowly from like behind from behind whatever barrier that is. Oh my
gosh. It's like a 15-minute music video of modern dance and Tom York being weird.
Yeah, I think I heard. I think I heard about
it. It's
rival,
awesome.
I think it's a rival Thriller.
I mean, they're so similar. It's hard to tell them apart, really. I mean,
two different time periods of modern dance.
I think, just as a sidebar, I think this is a genius move on Netflix's part to start doing this kind of stuff. Because they also did the Lonely Island short about Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco, the Bash Brothers, where they made it's a 15 to 20 minute long super music video with like four songs in it of just Andy Samberg and not Jorma, but the other guy. And I can't remember their names. I'm so sorry, guys. I know you're listening to the show.
Are you apologizing to Lonely Island?
Because Mark McGwire is that important.
Well, because Andy shouldn't be the only most recognizable person in this thing. Anyway, but yeah, so they do this, you know, Andy Samberg is Canseco, the other guy is Mark McGwire, and they're just basically singing these absurd, like, pseudo-rap songs about hitting home runs, doing steroids, and getting laid, and that's it. It is 16 to 20 minutes of nonsense.
Oh,
I forced Jenny to watch the whole thing. She was very bored by the end. I was like, isn't this fun? I kept doing that thing where you turn to the side, you're like, isn't this this isn't great. This is like poking a very angry porcupine.
No, but it reminded me of, there was a time in the early 2000s when MTV started going to shit where everybody had a DVD of like, here are all of Spike Jonze videos or here are all of Michael Gondry's videos. Mm-hmm. And you would just sit around and watch like 30 minutes of the videos.
Yeah.
And I actually looked on Netflix after I saw Anima to be like, I wonder if it has that collection, and it doesn't. But I was like, that is something I actually kind of miss, is like sitting down and actually appreciating the music video.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would definitely watch any sort of collection of, Peter Gabriel's stuff from, like, So and the album after that.
Netflix should get into that.
If they just pulled the Sledgehammer video and
Steam.
And yeah. Like, just give me a just crazy great playlist of older music videos back when that was a thing. And that's probably what they're going to do, right? Because they're not going to have anything from Disney anymore, which is 98% of the content that exists now, because Disney are our overlords and we praise them.
And they praise should give Disney. Everything up to the Brothers Grimm, because it sounds like they stole more than half of their catalog.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Easily.
But
So other Oasis, you guys know. They're a British band. They were formed in Manchester in 1991. Liam Gallagher was lead vocals. You also had Paul Bonehead Arthurs on guitar and Paul Giggsy McGuin on bass guitar.
Giggsy.
And Tony McCarroll on drums. And then Noel Gallagher on lead guitar and vocals. They were a very popular recording group with the kids. And we were the kids at the time. So I feel like I can say that. They had their first album was Definitely Maybe, released in 1994. Then What's the Story, Morning Glory in 1995 really broke through. That had your Champagne Supernovas, your Wonderwalls on it. And then they also had
Be Here Now, right?
The album Be Here Now that came out in 1997. And the note here is, although it was the fastest selling album in UK chart history, and it went on to sell 8 million copies, its popularity tapered off quickly. Because they went into that slump where I think more than likely the fact that they just didn't really like working together came up.
Yes.
And yeah, they were notoriously hated each other. I remember them being, I don't know, like referenced in monologues on late night shows as brothers who weren't getting along sort of stuff. Like they became a punchline for a period of time.
And I remember them always being on MTV like on those updates. What was that guy's name? The guy, the main guy on MTV who did the news updates.
Oh, Kurt Loder.
Yeah. Kurt Loder. Thank you. So it was always like Kurt Loder interrupts whatever, and he's like, "The latest news on Liam and Noel Gallagher is that Liam punched Noel in the nose during a drunken brawl, and Noel hit him over the head with a guitar." Fine. It was just like, yeah. But yeah, thank you for the Kurt Loder. I mean, that would have bothered me all night.
Well,
yeah.
You got the bang just hang down on Loder's forehead right there. It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that.
Getting that. Brian, it's okay.
I was commenting on Kurt Loder's bang on his forehead. That's
yeah, you got to get that Loder bang. Get that Loder bang.
Can it Loder bang?
That's thirsty for that Loder bang.
But if it's just one, if it's just one bang, then it's just thirst. It's not full thirsty.
Yeah.
Can you just really have one bang? I guess I should ask you.
I have no idea.
Okay. But Nate, I would have to agree with you about
Nate does his hair more than I do.
It's probably
look at Nate and I. Who does their hair more?
Nate has a Loder bang in waiting.
Is there? Oh yeah, I do. I've got. It's been a hot day, so the product is starting to loosen. The whole thing's going to cascade down.
You know, if you get enough enough followers and you end up simulcasting this, you'd change that up, though, right? You know what I'm saying?
No.
No? You guys would never do that? Film it at the same time?
I think we got to be... I think even if we did, we got to be real, right? Like, this is how we are.
I agree.
And I think, you know what? We're all fucking gorgeous. We're doing great. We're doing a good job.
I love that. Put that on a t-shirt. We're all fucking gorgeous. Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I think more people need reminding of that. And not just in the form of like Instagram posts by people who are already supermodels.
I agree with you. Steve. Fire.
The more you know. Okay. Shannon, you're going to get 2 points and 1 point each for Brian and John. Woo-hoo. And Brian, you get to pick 1 through 4.
Number one.
Brian. Do you have a vague idea about the Brotherhood of Mutants?
Vague idea.
Okay. John, Brotherhood of Mutants?
I need to clarify this. Are you talking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
No. It is comic book related. I will give away that much. But no, there is not.
I don't really.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, you can pass. You can just hang and see if somehow Brian clues you in. Brian might not know what's up. We'll see.
We'll see go with happens. The vagaries of it.
Yeah. Great. Shannon, Brotherhood of Mutants?
Yeah, I'll say I'm in.
Okay. Brian, start us off. What do you know about the Brotherhood of Mutants?
It's an offshoot of the X-Men.
Yes. Very good.
And they form to, as a basically another secret sect that Magneto couldn't find in case he destroyed all the first ones. So...
That's so much more than a vague idea.
Golly, I know, right?
There's some offspring in there. Not the band Offspring, sorry. That was another episode of the 90s. But there's some
offspring. Brian, I'm going to have to ask you to keep this separated.
keep your Loder bangs handy. and that's it. I'll shuffle it off to Shannon.
All right. John, what do you got? Anything?
I don't really have anything except a question. Were Magneto and the Professor brothers?
No, but nah. they were friends.
They were homies.
Yeah. They were very good friends. I believe.
Did they? Go ahead.
Someone can correct me, but I'm pretty sure that like they were both in a concentration camp together. They were both Jewish people who had been put in concentration camps by President Trump, Hitler, and they basically, like, had their mutant powers. Magneto was more willing to use his mutant powers to beat the shit out of Nazis, and Charles Xavier was more like, hey, we've got to be cool. We got to be chill. You're too thirsty for freedom, Magneto. We need to be chill. And so, yeah, and that is ultimately the conflict of their entire narrative, right? Is so Charles Xavier, Professor X, is always like, hey, we got to reason with people. We're mutants. They're scared of us. We know that they're scared of us because they're irrational. So we have to show them that we're good. And Magneto's like, look, they're never going to accept us. We should kill them all because we're the master race, which is a little bit Hitler-y.
Well, so basically, Professor Xavier was like Uncle Tom, right? And Magneto was like... Nat Turner?
In one framing, sure.
Magneto was polarizing, shall we say.
Yeah. Oh. That was a good slow burn joke. That was very good. really drew you in. Shannon, what can you add about the Brotherhood of Mutants?
I don't think I can add anything.
Okay.
Yeah. Spinoff of the X-Men. I feel like Nightcrawler was a big deal, but probably not.
Doesn't look like Nightcrawler was one of the members.
No, he wasn't one of them.
He's too much of a loner, I think.
Yeah.
Like Wolverine.
Yeah. The Brotherhood of Mutants, which was originally called the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, and sometimes appeared referenced as the BOEM, is a fictional team appearing in American comic books published by Marvel Comics. The characters are depicted as being devoted to mutant superiority over normal humans, and they are among the chief adversaries of the X-Men. So they were founded by Magneto. Members include Magneto, Mystique, Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch, Toad, Blob, Pyro, Avalanche, Sabretooth, and Juggernaut. It's a real rogues gallery.
It was all the ones in the Capcom... fighting game.
All the ones in the Marvel versus Capcom games. Yeah. The group's roster and ideology have varied from incarnation to incarnation, ranging from world domination to serving as a terrorist group that targets anti-mutant public figures. They're almost always at odds with the more peaceful X-Men, though on rare occasions, the two sides have allied against a common threat, most notably Apocalypse. Yeah, which if anybody saw the most recent, well, the second most recent X-Men, X-Men Apocalypse, which was boring, had moments, tough. I've only heard bad things about Dark Phoenix. Did you see it?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I don't think anybody wants to see it. So yeah, it's about the X-Men and President Trump and Hitler.
Yeah. Can I get serious about that for
sure.
Just a moment?
Yeah. So hit it.
In downtown Denver today, I was at a protest and rally and a march for the immigrants and the children in the camps. And I just like to say, close those camps right now.
Yeah.
Call your congresspeople.
Right. Yeah. Everybody should be just requiring the closure of these, because it's clear that there's no intention to make them safe or hygienic or hospitable. And these people haven't committed a crime. They've merely come to the country seeking asylum. They are not attempting to usurp your citizenship or take your job. They are just literally coming from a land that is in chaos, largely because of our actions over the last 60 to 150 years. But that set aside, they're human beings. And if you care about human beings, you care about life. If you're a pro-life person, you can't possibly support this. So, yeah. Well said. Brian, I'm going to give you 2 points. John and Shannon, you're going to get a point each.
What?
That's generous.
And
for me, at least.
Me too. I named an X-Man.
He's feeling sanguine today.
The points are all over the place, and that's the joy of the game. So, John, I think we're back to you.
Yeah.
One, two, or three?
Two.
Number two. John, it's time for Shannon's favorite category.
Finally. If it had gotten to me, I was going to call you out on shenanigans.
I know. Oh, hell yeah. You were going to be mad at me.
You're going to play some shenanigans?
And I cannot in good conscience blame you. We're going to play Palm ou Palm de Terre. Each week for Palm ou Palm de Terre, I'm going to present an object that is neither an apple, that's palm en français, or a potato, pomme de terre en français, and you're going to have to tell us which of the two things, whether this object is an apple or a potato. The object is actually on the floor over here, and I don't think we can really move it onto the table easily without making a lot of noise, but it is an indoor Wilson basketball.
Ah.
So John, is this we got some real hardwood bang.
Yeah.
John, is this an apple or a potato?
I'd say potato.
Yeah, why do you think it's a potato?
I think it's a member of the yam or sweet potato family, honestly. Okay.
Just based on coloring?
Based on color.
Okay.
And
I believe that.
Texture and feel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It does. It has a thick skin.
Yeah.
It's kind of a rough skin. Okay. I buy that. Shannon, do you have any rebuttals? Do you think this is an apple or a potato?
I hate this game so much. this is an apple.
Okay.
When I think of basketball, I think of Jordan,
uh-huh,
who used to dunk with his tongue out,
uh-huh,
as if to lick an apple.
Yeah, I do that. How did you know I do that? I totally lick that apple.
As if to lick an apple.
Instead of washing it.
That's not what you think of when you see
Jordan. Instead of washing it, I lick mine.
Great. That's wonderful. Brian, what do you think? Do you think this is an apple or a potato?
My argument is as ridiculous as this game.
Yeah. No, that's... Shannon, you're finally embracing the nature of the game. This is supposed to be insane. Brian, what do you think? Apple or a potato?
I'm going with an apple because once you deflate this guy, all you got left is the core, baby.
Ooh, okay.
It's got a core? There's nothing in the middle.
Can you project your imagination? Paper to the wall, baby.
Okay, no, great.
You know, I could even see it being an apple if you were like saying, you know, going with Michael Jordan, you know, it can defy gravity, you know, when it's being shot in the air, but it falls, like Isaac Newton catching that thing, you know. So I could see it either way.
That's it, you know, this game is really about being open-minded and thinking thinking beyond.
No, and
you got to think outside the apple or the potato.
Can you give him a point just for mediating that answer right there?
Yeah. No, I got to give your French listener something to think about.
You hear that, Antoine? People care about you.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, great. I'm going to give you 2 points, John. I'm going to give Shannon 1.5 because the idea that Michael Jordan is always trying to lick an apple when he dunks is now going to change my entire perspective. Like, an entire career where instead of, like, I don't know, thinking about his gambling losses, he's actually trying to lick an apple. I'm into it. And Brian, I'm going to give you 1 point. And Shannon, 1 or 2?
I'll go with 2.
2, we're going to play Fuck, Marry, Kill. So everybody's familiar with how Fuck, Marry, Kill works. Shannon, well, everybody's going to get to play this, but this week, you're going to have a choice of 3 brothers.
All right.
To fuck, marry, or kill. So would you fuck, marry, or kill Groucho, Harpo, or Chico Marx?
Oh, I have to remember which one's which.
So Groucho's the mustache, he's the one that's talking, and that's the strangest thing I ever heard.
Chico's the curly hair?
Chico's the curly hair, and Harpo is the blonde with the horn.
That doesn't speak. Talk, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So you might marry him right away, because it's like, I don't have to listen to you, we're fine.
Well, I was going to fuck him.
Oh, okay. But it'd be really cool, I guess if you get off on the, if you're on thirsty horn. For horn
I'm
squeaking.
Thirsty for horns.
He's really into it.
Talk things.
okay. Great, Shannon. Great.
Yeah. So I'm gonna fuck Harpo. Wait.
You can fuck Harpo. Yep. Uh huh.
I'm gonna marry Groucho because he's gonna make me laugh. And,
it's true. He is.
And I like the smell of cigars.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just lying. I don't even know. But
so you're gonna kill Chico then?
I'm gonna kill Chico.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Because that curly hair, I'll tell you why. It reminds me of an NSYNC version of Justin Timberlake when he had ramen hair, and I was not into that.
Not, yeah. Okay.
So nothing against Chico. Chico.
I just recently found out that it is pronounced Chico, not Chico.
Nothing against him. Chico. But it's the Justin Timberlake ramen hair.
I see that.
Yeah.
The ramen hair.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Bye, Chico. Wow. Brian, who are you going to fuck? Who are you going to marry? Who are you going to kill?
I think I would kill Harpo.
Yeah?
I just couldn't fucking listen to that thing anymore.
You're just over it. You're over the honking of
I'm just over.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The Mary, I think, would be Chico.
Yeah, you're going to marry Chico?
Chico.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Why? Why would you marry Chico?
Maybe to actually lay my face in that ramen hair.
Ooh, okay.
Maybe that's what it is.
Just like a Brillo facial every night.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm into it.
Yeah. And then I would fuck Groucho because I've always just been curious about that mustache.
All right. Yeah. You got to get that ride. And sometimes a cigar isn't just a cigar.
Whoa.
John, like John, where are you going to go?
Gosh, I can't even begin to imagine how to answer. You talk about imagination.
It's
stretching it here. Can I just fuck all three of them and not have to kill or marry either one?
Where you go with it. You're like, I just want to fuck them all.
Can we just do that instead?
You know what? I'm going to allow that. I will allow it. You can go ahead and fuck all three Marx brothers.
Well, no, I'm thinking orgy. I'm thinking, or maybe they just all fuck me. Can we do that?
Who's thirsty new here? That's what I want to know.
Well, you know, I really don't want to marry or kill anyone. I'd just rather fuck.
Okay. You know, I really can't say no to that. And honestly, because you have transcended, and I think what you've done is you've put an image in our and the listener's mind. I feel like if we had an actual following, the fan art that resulted from this would be so incredible. And I don't think there's a Marx Brothers movie where there's an orgy, but if there is, I'm going to figure out a way to Photoshop your face onto one of the people in the orgy. Great job.
That orgy's called Duck Soup, by the way.
You know what? Actually,
Duck Soup.
I saw a preview. I think they're coming out with a film like that, and it's going to star Matt Damon. Well, it can't star Heath Ledger for obvious reasons. But.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Liam Gallagher.
Yes.
Luke Wilson.
There you go. That's right. That's the one I saw.
And it's a movie where everybody has forgotten who the Marx Brothers are. So these three guys are like, oh, cool, we can make a lot of money by doing the Marx Brothers routines, except they just fuck the whole time.
Exactly.
It's like the movie Yesterday.
Yes. But, yeah. And then we all end up bigger than the Beatles.
It's true. It's true. Harder anyway. Shannon, I'm going to give you 2 points. Brian, I'm going to give you 2 points. John, I'm giving you 3 points because, oh, shit. John, are we, we're on you?
I think we're on Brian.
Are we on Brian?
Yeah, because she just picked
you. Yeah, that's right. Brian, it is your choice. Would you like the last topic, Brian?
Do it.
Okay. Do you have a vague idea about the Wright brothers? The Wright brothers.
Vague idea.
Okay. John, the Wright brothers?
Vague.
Okay, Shannon, Wright brothers.
Yep.
Okay. Brian, start us off. Let's talk about the Wright brothers.
Well, I can't remember their first names, but Kitty Hawk, of course, the famous town. But that wasn't actually their first plane. I believe they had some failures along the way. And the year was it 1903? Maybe that doesn't matter.
That's a really, that is very good.
I love how he's always like, vague, blah, blah, blah. Here's everything you ever wanted to know about it.
Here are the 19 Trivial Pursuit cards pertaining to this topic. Yeah. And you recite it in this effortless poetic way where you're just throwing these details.
Well,
the way that you write your poetry, really. Brian is an exceptional poet, if you don't know. We know, but yeah. Brian's tends to capture images and moments very, very succinctly and beautifully.
He's gaming
he's
you
doing.
A little bit because we lived off Kitty Hawk, which I probably he's got some associating
what?
Going on. He's got some brain association. We lived off a streak. Wasn't it Kitty Hawk?
Kitty Hawk Road.
Kitty Hawk Road.
Kitty Hawk Road.
Universal City.
I'm calling shenanigans.
Shenanigans has been called.
That was North Carolina.
It was.
And then that's all I got.
Okay. Well, John, what else?
He also wrote a poem about the Wright brothers, too.
Oh, but did you?
No, I'm joking. I think their names were Lewis and Orville.
One of those is correct.
One
yes.
of them? Uh-huh. Well, then that goes. There goes the rest of my vague idea. Because, what, like, wasn't the plane called the Spirit of St. Louis and they took off from St. Louis or something like that?
That was Charles Lindbergh's plane. But well, yes, I mean, that is a prominent plane.
That's very vague connections.
No, yeah, you got one of the names, so that's worth some coin. Shannon,
I was feeling really confident because I was thinking that they were in Kitty Carlisle.
Kitty Carlisle.
Oh, I like that
just
name.
Made that up.
I like that.
Wasn't Kitty Carlisle like a frequent guest on a 70s game show? Probably.
Or 70s porn. Very thirsty, that kitty.
Wasn't she in the Green Door?
Laughing at that. Never mind. Shannon, so that's what you got?
The license plate of North Carolina says first in flight.
It's true.
Because
it's true.
The Wright brothers.
Yeah.
Nice.
And also slaves ran away from there very quickly.
What the hell?
Zing, North Carolina. Yeah. The Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur.
Wilbur.
They were both. They were born. Orville was the younger. He was born in 1871. Wilbur in 1867. They were two American aviation pioneers, generally credited with inventing, building, and flying the first successful airplane. They made that first controlled, sustained flight of a powered, heavier-than-air aircraft with the Wright Flyer on December 17th, 1903, 4 miles south of Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. I believe it was something like a 18-second long flight. It was very brief. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, they had been they owned a bike shop. They were bike builders, and
That's awesome.
In Dayton, Ohio is where they grew up, and they flew in North Carolina because it's good kite flying weather, basically. So when your plane is just a big kite with a propeller on the back that you wind up, it makes a lot of sense. Wilbur lived Orville was 76 when he died. Wilbur died at age 45.
Aww.
Pretty tragic.
That is tragic.
But yeah, their breakthrough creation was a three-axis control system. So you had yaw, the other things. I can't remember now. I did do an elementary school science fair presentation that got me a second place ribbon. Ooh. On the physics of flight.
Congratulations.
So there's thrust, lift, drag, and gravity. So those are your primary forces. Whatever. let's not get hung up on my scientific pedigree. But yeah, so basically they learned mechanical skills through bikes and working on motors, on motorcycles and things like that, and applied some of these basic physics ideas to creating an airplane. And here we are. And now we live in an era where American Airlines can bump you from like six consecutive flights because of a mechanical issue that they knew about the day before.
Oh, gosh.
So, hey, it all worked out.
Hey, hello, Boeing. Thank you.
Boeing.
Boeing.
excellent. Let's see. Da-da-da. I'm going to give Brian a point, and I'm going to give John and Shannon half a point each. And that concludes the game, so I just need to add the scores up. You guys feel free to shoot the shit for a second.
I would like to put it on the record that my brother here had an excellent bit about Ozzy and Jose Canseco. And, you brought up Mark McGuire earlier in Jose. And we don't want to forget about Ozzy Canseco. You know, we definitely, he deserves fair mention here.
We need to make T-shirts that say, "What about Ozzy?" And we have a silhouette with his jersey on it. And it's like, yeah, let's not forget. Because just because Jose Canseco did the most steroids, gave up the most home runs off the top of his head, and had the most sex with Madonna out of the pair, that doesn't mean that he deserves all the accolades. I think that's... It's very important.
Just make sure Ozzy's forearms are just a little bit smaller than Jose's, you know.
I mean, Jose has like five arms, so it's cool.
Jose was way more thirsty than Ozzy was ever.
Yeah.
That's why Ozzy failed.
Then you can say, Ozzy, the one that didn't juice. Right. Not thirsty?
No pulp. No pulp in Ozzy.
I like that. Oh, Shannon, so what do you think your life would have been like if you didn't have a brother? Or if you'd had a brother, sorry.
That's I have a no good idea. Question. I don't know.
That's a tincture question right there. Like an alternate universe in another time.
Q Simpsons comic book guy. If you're talking about the Simpsons.
In the intergalactic fourth century of the fifth dimension on Trafalgar Square.
I like that Trafalgar Square made its way in there, which is an actual place in London. But it also kind of sounds like the Trafalmadorians that Kurt Vonnegut invented for Slaughterhouse 5.
Right.
Yeah. So it's,
So it goes.
Art imitates life sometimes, Sometimes you're the toilet paper against the wall, and sometimes the wall is the toilet paper against you.
And sometimes you're the poop hand.
And sometimes you're the poop hand.
And sometimes you're the bidet.
It's a lot of times.
It's a long life. You wipe your ass a lot in your lifetime if you think about it.
All right. I have the score total finally. And we have
-5 for that answer.
We have another tie, So congratulations, Brian and Shannon. You guys have tied for the win with 13.5 points. John, yay, you had 12.5.
Hey, it was
real close. Close game. Real close game tonight.
Yes.
Honorable mention.
So Brian, do you have anything you'd like to plug? Anything you need people to know about?
No.
I like that you took the time to dramatically lean into the microphone. That was very good. John, you plugged not allowing concentration camps in our nation, which I think is the most valuable plug you can make. Is there anything else you'd like to plug?
Yeah, impeach Trump.
Okay.
Or lock him up, either one.
I mean, I think both probably would be good for a lot of people. Yeah. It would set a positive precedent. Great. Shannon, anything to plug?
No, I'll leave it with that.
Okay.
It's a good message to end on.
Yeah, I think that's great. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. This has been a lot of fun. I think, I hope you'll come back because I think we'll all get better at this as we get used to the microphone headphone situation. Because it is still just teetering on that weird, like, uncanny valley where you hear yourself sometimes and then you hear yourself slightly further away and you become very sort of spatially conscious and weird. Which is a lot of fun because it's not like anybody has any baseline anxiety to begin with. No. So, yay!
Yeah.
Thank you guys for being on. And thank you, listeners, for listening to the program. If you like the show, please tell other people about it. That's the main thing you can do. If you just say, hey, I listen to this podcast, some knuckleheads do it, and they're kind of funny and kind of informed, and it's interesting. So listen to it, because we're doing this just because we love doing it.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, thank you for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. If you want to follow us on social media, you can follow us on Instagram at A Vague Idea Podcast or on Twitter at A Vague Idea Pod. You can also follow me on either at Nate Regolia if you would like to. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. Be good people. Shut down those concentration camps. And join us next week. We'll have more fun that may or may not be Thursday. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and John Perros. If you like this podcast and you like anime, you should check out my podcast with Sean Gronkowski called You Better Believe This. That's found at moleholeradio.com. If you like science fiction books, you should check out the press that Sean and I started. It's called Space Boy Books, and you can find us at readspaceboy.com.